I don't know if it's true, but the story is told of President Franklin Roosevelt, who often endured long receiving lines at the White House. He complained once that no one really paid any attention to what was said in the conversation. One day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. As each person passed down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, "I murdered my mother-in-law this morning." The guests responded with statements like, "Marvelous, keep up the good work," or, "We are proud of you," or, "God bless you, sir." It was not until the end of the line, at least the story goes, while he was greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. The ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming." It's often true that we don't listen very well. It's often true that we hear only the things we want to hear. I'm sure that all of us have had discussions with people, especially discussions where we disagree with the other person. And many times we may find ourselves, or they may find themselves, saying, "No, you are not listening to me." And if we have a strong view on the topic, it makes it even harder to listen to the opposite view with a truly open mind. And in the same way, if we have a predisposition against God, or if we have a predisposition against any part of His will, His teaching, it will affect our hearing. It will have a huge impact on our listening ability. In John chapter 8, verse 47, Jesus was speaking to Jews who refused to believe what He was saying. Jesus said to them, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, we read about Samuel when he was a young boy. Sometimes God spoke directly to people in those days. On this occasion, God had spoken to Samuel a few times, but when Samuel finally realized it was God who was speaking to him, he then said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Samuel was receptive to God's word. This is the attitude we should have regarding the word of God. We need to listen with an attitude of responsiveness. We need to listen with the determination to obey. And we need to listen with reverence or respect towards God Himself. In order to have a receptive attitude towards what God says, we must listen with a reverent disposition towards God Himself. If we don't respect the person, we usually have no interest in hearing what the person has to say. Regarding the word fear and how it's used in the Bible, it often carries the idea of a healthy respect. Without respect for the speaker, we will not really listen to the message. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, "The conclusion of the matter is this: fear God and keep His commands, for this is the whole duty of man." If we don't have a wholesome fear, a healthy respect for God, we will not have any regard for what He says in His word. We will have no regard for His commands. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus asked the question, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" Again, Samuel's sentiment was, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." What we need is the respect that is due our Lord and Master. That's what will produce the submissiveness that comes from respect. God told Moses, "Take off your sandals. Take your sandals off your feet. You're standing on sacred ground." How humble and how respectful are we before God? Sometimes people are willing to serve God, but only in what we might call an advisory capacity. By this I mean they feel free to speak for God. They feel free to say what they think God meant, or what God should do, or what God should not do, or what God should think or not think on a certain issue. "Well, I think He means this," they may say. Or, "If I was God, I would have done this," or "I would have said that." Or, "I believe God just wants us to be happy," or, "I don't believe God would send anyone to hell." When we know our place, we will not presume to speak for God. We will humbly and respectfully listen. And we need to listen with an attitude of responsiveness. In John chapter 10, Jesus gave a simple test to determine who are his sheep. In John chapter 10, verses 24 through 27, we're told that the Jews who were gathered around him were saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep." Well, who are his sheep? He says in the next verse, "My sheep listen to my voice." He goes on to say, "I know them and they follow me." Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice." In John 8, verse 43, John chapter 8, verse 43, Jesus was speaking to a crowd who had no respect for him. And he said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." Then a few verses later in John chapter 8, verse 47, to the same people, Jesus said, "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says." Well, literally, these people were able to hear what Jesus was saying, but they were unresponsive to it. So he said, "You're not listening. You can't listen to my words, to what I had to say." Jesus is talking about an attitude. He's talking about people who are not responsive to divine truth. It was the inability to put aside preconceived notions that we talked about earlier. These people were not willing to do that, and so these people were unresponsive to Jesus' words. Two psychiatrists met at their 20th college reunion. One was vibrant and youthful looking, but the other one looked like he had aged 40 years instead of 20. The one who looked so elderly asked, "So what's your secret?" He went on to say, "Listening to other people's problems every day, all day long, for years on end, has made an old man of me." The younger looking one said, "So who listens?" You're not affected by people if you're not listening to what they have to say. True listening will generate a response of some kind. How responsive are we to the Lord's will? In James chapter 3, verse 17, James says, "The wisdom that is from above is willing to yield." Various translations render this, "is easily persuaded," or "is ready to be convinced," or "is reasonable," or "submissive." When it comes to responding to the Lord's will, does this describe me? Does it describe you? How ready to be convinced are we when we are listening to God's word? How willing to yield are we? How responsive are we to the word of the Lord? The unresponsive heart is illustrated by Pharaoh. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, Pharaoh said to Moses, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." We see this same unresponsive heart in King Jehoiakim. Jeremiah had written God's word on a scroll, which was to be read to King Jehoiakim. The king cut it up and threw it into the fire. In Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 22 through 25, we read, "It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter apartment with a fire burning in the fire pot in front of him. Whenever Jehudi had read three or four columns of the scroll, the king cut them off with a scribe's knife and threw them into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. The king and all his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear, nor did they tear their clothes." And then it says they urged the king, certain ones had urged the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. He was not willing to listen to them, nor was he willing to listen to the message on the scroll, the words from God. Speaking of the wickedness of Judah in the days of King Joash, 2 Chronicles 24, verse 19 says, "Although the Lord sent prophets to the people to turn them back to him, and though the prophets testified against them, the people would not listen." By contrast, we see the responsive heart illustrated by King Josiah in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 27. When the words of the Lord were read to Josiah regarding the punishment God would bring on his people for their disobedience, King Josiah was humbled. He sent men to a prophetess named Huldah. She said, "Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord." Many examples can be used to illustrate a responsive, receptive attitude toward the word of the Lord. Cornelius is one of those. In Acts chapter 10, verse 33, Cornelius said to Peter, "We are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." In an article entitled, "Listening is an Art, Practice It," Mark A. Neville, headmaster of the Latin School of Chicago, writes, "More failures in academic and social growth can be traced to the inability to listen than to any other single aspect of the language arts." The same could be said regarding God's Word. When God speaks, does His Word strike a responsive chord within us? Is our mind attuned to God's mind? In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus said, "Consider carefully how you listen." When God speaks, are we listening? And then we need to listen with the determination to obey. In the previous section, we noted that Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice." And we also noted that the rest of that verse says, "And they follow me." That's obedience. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, Paul refers to Christians as soldiers. He said, "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather he tries to please his commanding officer. A soldier has a clearly defined relationship with his superiors. He obeys orders without question. When his commanding officer issues a command, he's to obey without hesitation." Paul is saying that the duty of a Christian is to please his master, to listen to and obey what the Lord says. How many times does the commander have to tell someone under him to do something? He doesn't beg, he doesn't plead, he doesn't count to three. He tells them one time. How many times does the Lord have to ask us to do his will? In Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, the Lord was telling Moses to go back to the land of Egypt and to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go free. We referred to Pharaoh's response earlier. Moses really didn't want to do this, and his reluctance to obey was quite obvious by the responses he gave. He said, "What if they won't listen?" Then a little later he said, "Lord, I am slow of speech." And finally he said, "Please send someone else." A few translations say anybody. Please send anybody else but me. That contrasts quite clearly with Isaiah's response. It is remarkably different than Isaiah's readiness to obey. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, Isaiah said, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Who shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Which one of these men frustrated God? Which one of these men pleased God? We should have a practical purpose for listening to God. We should be seeking to know how to live more obediently before Him. Our real degree of readiness to obey the Lord is indicated by whether we concentrate more on what we need to do or what we want to do. Genuine eagerness to do God's will includes the willingness to do whatever He commands. Genuine eagerness to do God's will includes the willingness to do it with our full strength and to do it without delay. In Psalm 119, verse 60, the psalmist said, "I will hasten and I will not delay to obey your commands." If we would be good listeners, we must listen with a reverent disposition towards God Himself. We need to listen with an attitude of responsiveness, and we need to listen with the determination to obey. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus explains the meaning of the parable of the sower in verses 11 through 15. He said, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries. They are choked by riches and pleasures, and they do not mature." Then in verse 15, Jesus says, "But the seed that fell on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a good crop." They hear it, they retain it, and they produce a good crop. This is another way of saying they will listen to it with respect. They are receptive to the message, and they obey. Let us determine to go and do likewise.